This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show Series 4, Episode 47. Welcome, Lavers. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we have a brand new member of the team. Lavers is on board. We also help a chap to lose some fat and have a good discussion about spin bowling and 2020 cricket. All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's time for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, and we're jammed in today. There's hardly any space to move. You certainly can't swing a cricket bat around in here. My name's David Hinchliffe. I'm looking after things here at Pitch Vision Towers. But what a lineup we've got this week. As usual, of course, we've got Mark Garraway, Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School, and we'll get to him in a second. So hold on there, Garras. And of course, Berners is lurking around in the background somewhere. Berners, also hold on. But we've got a new guest presenter who's going to be coming on the show regularly, Sam Lavery, who his CV is as long as my arm. So, Sam, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you do in your coaching experience and how you spend your time. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. The main part of my role is at the Grammar School in Portsmouth, where I'm the cricket professional there and I run the academy that we've got. So I'm spending a lot of my time with those guys, probably in a similar manner to Garras does with the boys down at Millfield, really. So we've got cricket all year round. This time of year, we're sort of working with the boys on their individual skills. So it's batters, fast bowlers, spin bowlers and keepers. Outside of that, I do a little bit of work with Hampshire. I do a little bit of work with a cricket club locally, where I'm the head coach over at Burridge Cricket Club, which I spend a lot of time with them in the summer. And previous to that, I've kind of been a typical globe-trotting coach, where I've been going around the world to various different places, trying to steal ideas and bits of information from different people, which I've done reasonably successfully so far. And I'm hopefully going to steal a few more things off Garras today.
Well, that's what it's all about, sharing ideas, coming up with new ways of doing things that builds on the past. So, you know, that's the exciting stuff. It's never stealing, it's always sharing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So let's not forget about the guys who've been on the show much longer than you, Sam, and we've got Garras. Welcome along, Garras.
Hello, boys. Good to have you here, Sam.
Thank you, mate. Cheers, good to see you.
And of course, the will-o'-the-wisp of the show, the man who pops up without a moment's notice, and sometimes we don't see him for a few weeks. It's Berners.
Absolutely grand. Welcome, Sam. Good to have you on board, mate.
Thank you, Berners.
As you'll quickly realise, Garraway and the coach are the brains. I am certainly not the brawn, but I'm on the show regardless.
Yeah, you do all the heavy lifting, Berners. That's what it's all about.
What it's all about.
You move the boxes and everything. It's brilliant. So let's get on with the show. That's enough mutual backslapping. Let's get on with the show and start talking about cricket. And we got some follow-up this week, Garras. A couple of things. Let me just start with the last thing on the list, just to confuse you slightly, which is our follow-up from last week. Do you remember we had our question about the player who couldn't get to training and the coach was making him suffer by making him bat at 11? And we advised to for the dad to speak to the coach and try and find some kind of a compromise and find a way through that minefield. Well, the good news is that he came back to us and said, I had a chat with the coach of my son's team at today's game, and he said that he'll be doing an extra training session during the week as the boys probably need some more training. And as long as my son can go to one of the two training sessions, he'll be able to get a bat and a bowl in the game. So how about that? An extra training session and everything sorted.
Oh, well, that's brilliant news, and one that we hope that would become the outcome. And well done on having that conversation, because they're not always easy to have, those conversations. They normally, you go in feeling a bit sort of intrepidation about the whole thing, but then you come out with a solution, which is what you've achieved. So well done, and I'm pleased that we're of some service.
Fantastic. And Sam, you listened to last week's show. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you often see situations like this where there's a slight lack of communication between people, really, and that's where potential conflicts or misunderstandings can come along. But if you can tidy up the communication channels and get people actually talking to each other, as you suggested, it's usually quite a simple situation to to resolve, and it sounds like that's been done straight away. So good advice all round by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's never as difficult as you think it's going to be, even if it's quite difficult. Because you always build it up in your head, don't you? And then by the time you actually get to do it, it's never as bad as you think it's going to be.
Yeah, and the longer you leave it, as you say, the more it builds up. So the quicker you can get in there and get talking, the better.
And the second piece of follow-up that we had was, Gareth, your article on the management team and how to use a management team at club level, which is an idea which people have not maybe thought about as much as they could have before. We had a great question follow-up from AB, who's a regular contributor to the website and to this show. And his question was how the second team or friendly team skippers or youth team coaches fit into that management structure.
Well, the answer directly to that is through the head of selectors. So the head of selectors' role is to ensure that he's keeping on top of the all of the different teams and the performances from each individual within those teams. And obviously they will be selecting upwards and he'll be overseeing that. So that would be my point of call in that one. But the bottom line is actually, you know, that's the one that I would put in place if I had a cricket club that I was going to be working with. The crucial thing is to make it look like your cricket club and make it work for your cricket club. So whilst that's my model, if I went in, I would probably adapt that model slightly if I was going to be moving into a new cricket club or a new environment to make it work in there, because the sort of a definition of an insanity is to take a model and just slap it on top of everything without taking into account what you've got beneath you. So make it work, AB, for your environment.
And Lavers, you've got experience, of course, with the picturesque, grounded Burridge Cricket Club. How is the management team structured there?
Well, it's actually something we set up last year, something very similar out of coincidence to the framework Gareth has put together. And it works pretty well. Again, it comes down to maintaining communication with everyone in the club and giving everyone a clear understanding of where they stand within the club structure and appropriate channels so they can voice their opinions if needed. We've got a senior player who is a fast bowler, so we don't really need an additional fast bowler in there. Mm-hmm. And we utilise our overseas player who's heavily involved in the club as well, which is another person who at many clubs plays a pivotal role. So we use him within our sort of structure. But apart from that, we find that it works very, very successfully. And after integrating it last year, we won the league. So it seems to be working quite well.
How formally is the management side structured? Is it just one of the things where the guys get together and they talk about things and it's done informally, or do they sit down and work things out in a more structured way?
Well, for me, as the person who's often going to lead that sort of thing, I would try and have a formal meeting at the start of the season. But generally, it would be a weekly catch-up or a fortnightly catch-up outside of the usual selection meetings and things like that. So it's not a particularly formal situation. However, once every 4 weeks or 6 weeks, I think we'll be 6 weeks this time around, we're going to try and have a proper meeting. So it can be a catch-up very quickly. If there are any issues, there's an opportunity to throw some ideas around. But try and keep a formal structured meeting there every now and then, just so every box is ticked and we know what everyone's actually thinking. But as you know, cricketers don't want to be dragged out every Tuesday night or Thursday night if they've already got other things on their plate. So Try to keep it as brief and as informal as possible, but still maintain a bit of structure if we can.
Okay, good. So lots of exciting follow-up there. I always enjoy a bit of follow-up and people telling us what happens next and asking further questions, and it becomes more of a dialogue that way, and that makes it more exciting. It feels like we're not talking into the ether then. It feels like people are coming back to us and going, yeah, that's all well and good, but how do we adapt this, or this idea worked for me, or this idea didn't work for me. So, yeah, send in as much feedback as you can. That's really exciting for us. You can find us on coach@pitchvision.com if you want to email in any time and anything to do with any show, right all the way back from number one. Let's wrap up with the yes-no round. That's three questions. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no to, no matter how much more that we want to say. And I'll be in charge of the question asking this week. And Gareth and Lavers, if you want to be in charge of answering yes or no. And remember, Lavers, this is your first time doing the yes or no round. Remember, even if you want to say something else, You can only say yes or no. Got it?
Don't worry, one word only.
Let's fire away. First question. 2020 is a good framework for all skill development.
No.
No.
Second question. Drills are the fastest way to master a skill.
No.
No.
It's exciting. Third question. The increase in stress-related problems shows how much more pressure there is in cricket nowadays.
Yes.
Yes.
Time now for the mailbag. Of course, if you're a regular listener to the show, and Sam, you all know this as well, we have the chance on every show to answer a couple of questions and decide on the best question of the week, which then wins a prize. Get to see a Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the way that you get in touch with the show is you can phone or email us or tweet us, get us through Facebook. You can email us on coach@pitchvision.com and we'll give you the rest of the details later on in the show. But for now, let's head into the first question.
Our first question comes in from Sarvesh, and his question is regarding his physique, by all accounts. He's a top-order batsman, and he's saying that his batting is good, but unfortunately he's carrying a bit of weight on his lower body, which often blocks him from and doesn't allow him to go on with those long innings, and it's obviously run quickly between the wickets. So he's just wanting to know what he can do to trim down and be a bit more sprightly at the crease. What do we reckon, guys?
Okay, so the first thing I'd say is if you ask someone to go out there and to improve their fitness, there are a number of different ways to approach it. There are different styles of training that can attack it. But if you give someone the classic advice of just go out and run, and you're looking at 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, for someone who's maybe not quite as fit as they'd like to be, that's quite an intimidating thing to do. So it's trying to make the training interesting, make it rewarding at the same time. But to do that, I often think it's probably best to have a few different ways of attacking it. So obviously developing some basic aerobic fitness through some extended exercise is great. But you want to try and show that your training is also going to be specific to what you're going to do. So I'd try and recommend that he does try and develop some aerobic base by going out and doing some extended running. And that's usually something you do early on in your training calendar. So probably before the season or way away from the season. But after that, trying to replicate what he wants to do in the middle. And ultimately, that's run between the wickets by the sound of it. And no doubt move around in the field a little bit faster as well. So I'd be thinking about structuring some sprints, running twos, running threes, running fours, and having a bit of structure to what he does there. The other thing I'd like to do is try and make it something that he can measure as well, so he can gauge his progress as he goes along. It's always rewarding to see your numbers in terms of times of sprint times, turning times, etc., come down when you put the hard work in, and often the physical side of it is very difficult for you to notice because you see yourself, you see your body shape every day. But if you can have something that's factual in terms of statistics, then it makes it a little bit more rewarding when you measure yourself 4 weeks down the line and you see you've shaved a little bit of time off whatever it might be. In terms of weight loss generally as well, I would try and recommend some sort of weight lifting program just to aid in the actual burning of fat, because that will be a great thing. And ultimately the final avenue would be the most obvious one, and that's just a bit more attentiveness to his diet. So there are a few angles there to think about, but ultimately you've got to find something that fits into your life and is going to be rewarding for what you want to achieve.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? You know, it's you can talk about methods and different methods and the effectiveness of different methods and stuff like that, but it doesn't fit in with your life, then, you know, you're definitely barking up the wrong tree. There's a strength coach in America called Michael Ball, very well respected in the world of strength and conditioning for American sports, and he says the best exercise for weight loss is called the table push away. Have you heard that one before?
The table push away?
Yeah.
Is that one diet related?
Yeah, he says the simplest way to lose weight is to simply push away from the table.
ultimately, it's a case of intake against usage, isn't it? If you if you're eating less than you're burning, then you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching some quite interesting profiling videos from the ECB recently of when England arrived in Australia, and a lot of the batsmen, they do a lot of their physical strength, speed work, dressed in full equipment as well. I think it's often neglected, certainly at amateur level, where people go out and train and they don't take into respect that the fact that when they are at the crease, you know, you have got your helmet, you are carrying your bat. So a lot of their focus was on doing things and replicating it as it would be at the crease. So wearing the actual uniform and the actual kit whilst you're trying to undertake these things, you know, practically during a game. And when I was in Australia as well, we used to often train running between the wickets, and often the fall of a wicket in a net scenario would lead you to running a circuit of the outfield in your full kit, helmet et al. So it was so that's something to bear in mind as well, I often think.
Yeah, I mean, the more specific, cricket-specific you can make it, the better, and probably the more likely you are to stick with it because you've got that motivation to be able to do it. Gareth, anything to add from that extremely good list?
Absolutely, I think that's a really thorough one. And when it comes to body fat, from experience of working with people and also being a chubby little bugger myself, it's little things that make a difference. And we've been having a bit of a weight loss thing going on in our cricket program recently. So myself and Richard Ellison, who love a chocolate biscuit, haven't been doing that. He's been good reducing stuff. His alcohol intake in the evening. I've been modifying some of my walking patterns. So I've walked quicker around what is a huge campus just to try and raise my metabolism a little bit. And it's had quite a significant effect without us necessarily doing all of the things that you would associate with weight loss, and him in particular. But you know, he's lost a lot of weight and he's looking in good nick at the moment, the old boy. So it doesn't take a lot to make little bits of impact upon body fat, and then if you start to make it fun by doing it cricketized, I suppose, like Berners and Sam have suggested, then all of a sudden it becomes something that's fun rather than seen as an ordeal or a chore.
Yeah, that you can sort of, you make it into a game. There's this there's these bands and things you can get now. Have you heard of the Fitbit? Ever come across that, Gareth, the Fitbit?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's more for walking, really. But the principle of making it into a game is a good one. You know, you set yourself a target and it tells you how close you are to your target, and you can track the number of steps that you've taken, and it tracks the quality of your sleep, which is also actually quite important for fitness. So
yeah,
a tool like that might be quite useful to you. Or, if you know, there is this phrase, which is a bit of an ugly phrase, but it does fit here, gamification, which is turning these kind of things into a challenge, because that is the kind of motivation that can often make a change, help people make a lifestyle change. One more point I would make about this is that you don't need to worry about it hugely. I mean, obviously you don't want to be massively overweight for health reasons and cricket fitness related reasons. But you don't need to obsess about it. You know, you don't need to drop down to bodybuilder single digit body fat levels if you are naturally a bit more rounded than other people. You know, as long as you're fit, as long as you're doing enough, then and you're able to make those quick singles, then I wouldn't stress about it too much, because there's a law of diminishing returns when it comes to that kind of thing. The next question is from our old friend. He seems to pop up on the show nearly every week. He does send in a lot of questions. It's Minga. Welcome back, Minga. Minga says, in recent times, I've noticed that in 2020 cricket with spin bowlers, the bowlers turn the ball very much. And it makes me wonder, who's better for 2020 cricket? Spin bowlers who don't turn the ball, or someone like Shane Warne who turns the ball a mile?
Well, again, I think we've answered something similar to this in the past, really. And I like a combination of both in many ways, because you want people to bowl how they are. And in the same way as somebody like a Shane Warne who turned it a mile, well, you want him to turn it a mile in all formats, don't you? Because that's probably going to be the best way that he's going to get wickets, and also the best way that he's going to contain the scoring rate as well. Whereas, you know, other bowlers, and somebody like George Dockrell, for example, who does a fantastic job for Ireland and for Somerset in T20 cricket, you know, isn't a prodigious spinner of the ball, yet is really effective as him. I have to say that I've noticed a little drop off in those guys, those big spinners. But I think we were blessed for a generation of having some really big spinners of a ball operating in international cricket at the same time. And the two most significant were obviously Warne and Muralitharan, who have gone past their best before date and are now doing other things. So we've got to wait for those next guys to come along that can do it, that can get the ball to rag square and still operate at that level in 2020 cricket. But from a coaching point of view, it's crucial that we encourage people to spin the ball, but equally that we work with their strengths as well. And you know, there's no point in getting somebody like Chris Gayle to really concentrate the whole of his training program on getting the ball to rip square, because it's probably not going to happen.
The thing you don't want to do is to be one type of bowler and try and be the other type of bowler if you can't do it. That's really where it's all going to fall down.
I agree with Gareth. I think if you look at the world stage and who there is out there bowling and bowling big spinning deliveries, there probably isn't the same number across all forms of cricket. So it's not necessarily something that's just relevant to T20 that there aren't people spinning the ball as much. It's just maybe those people aren't out there at the moment. If people do have the skill, and those who don't turn the ball as much generally do have the skill to vary their pace and control their pace a little bit better. And I think that is quite a key skill to 2020 cricket, when people are largely looking at transferring their body weight and momentum into the ball. And timing's a lot harder to come by if you can't pick the pace of a bowler. So when people are going hard at a ball and trying to clear the fence, if they can't pick up the pace of a bowler, then it's a little bit harder to actually do that and get your body weight and momentum into the shot. So having that skill to change your pace is proving important. And if we look at those guys who are the masters of it, really, Gareth mentioned a guy there who's an ever improving bowler and showing some serious skills for Ireland. But for me, the master of that type of bowling would probably be Vittori over the years, who's never been, especially in the latter half of his career, hasn't been a prodigious spinner of the ball. But his ability to change pace and control a batsman just by subtly bowling a little bit faster, a little bit slower, and stopping him transferring his body weight into the ball has been fantastic. So it's not all about spinning it big, but as Gareth said, it'd be great if we could have a little bit of both all the time, really.
So if you're a young spinner, where do you go with that? You work on what comes to you naturally, or do you, if you want to go down one path and you think you can achieve it, do you work on something which is more of a weakness? If you're say you can't spin the ball that much and you think if you work on it enough you will spin the ball more, is that the way you go, or do you work on your strength and become a more accurate sort of non-spinning type spinner?
Well, it varies, doesn't it? You've got kids who are small and have small hands, for example, when they're under 8, under 9, and can't physically get their fingers around the ball sufficiently to impart massive spin, particularly for finger spinners at this juncture. And at some point they're going to grow. So I know I say it all the time, but patience is absolutely crucial. And we shouldn't be labelling any spinner or any fast bowler or whatever until we've seen where they're fully going to develop from a physical maturity perspective. I see that happening a little bit too often. Old 11-year-old Johnny doesn't spin the ball. Well, you try spinning your ball with 2-inch fingers, half an inch fingers. Wait for them to grow to their full capacity before we start making a judgment on what Johnny can do or what he can't do. So patience is crucial with youngsters, and I'd always try and teach them to spin the ball big, because you might spin them teach them the technique when they're 7, but actually their physical capability might only come to them when they're 14-15. But that lesson that you teach them when they're 7 years old could be the thing that just makes them go bang when their fingers are long enough. So patience is absolutely crucial. Spinning the ball big is something I'd always try to teach people, but ultimately people will fall into their own way when you get to 16, 17, and all the way through to the mid-30s, when spin bowlers often come into their own. So it's a never-ending thing, and certainly don't put a ceiling on people. But ultimately, people will find their own way, their own method, their own tempo of how they want to bowl in 2020 cricket. So be patient, go with them, and go with them rather than them trying to come with you.
So as always, we've come up with an answer, which is it depends. that seems to be the standard answer for us. But hopefully that's given you a little bit of guidance of where to go next. Now let's head to the Pitch Vision newsroom, where Daisy Carter is waiting with the Pitch Vision headlines.
Thanks, guys. Hi, I'm Daisy Carter, and this is the Pitch Vision news. Former England fast bowler Alex Judah has launched Pitch Vision at Belvoir School in London. Uniquely, the system has been bought for use in the playground during lunch breaks, alongside after-school cricket club. Head of cricket John Speller added this is a fantastic system to encourage kids to participate and enjoy playing cricket. Who are Pitch Vision's best batters? Using the interactive pages, we can look at users' batting average in the nets. Of all the users with over 150 runs this year, the best of the best is SM, NM, HD, from England with an average of 46.14. Following him is Beppe X with 33.65 and Dudley on 27. The best non-English player is Lloyd 23 from India with 26.11. For more details on these stories, check out the show notes at pitchvision.com. That's Pitch Vision news for this week. I've been Daisy Carter, and now it's back to the panel.
Okay, thank you, Daisy. And I know this week Daisy has been off work, sunning herself somewhere, I expect, but she did still manage to file her report before she left. So well done, Daisy, for doing that. That's commitment to the Pitch Vision cause. Now let's head into this week's soapbox. And it's exciting for us on this week's soapbox because we've got a new person who's stepping up to the box right now. It's Lavers, our brand new member of the team. And Lavers, you know you've got 60 seconds to talk about anything that you like, as long as it's got something to do with cricket, without interruption. And it's a heinous sin not to make it to those 60 seconds. So, go on the box and start talking now.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about sledging. I'm going to try not to make it a rant about any specific Aussies. But given the recent events, I think we probably have to accept that words used on the field are left on the field. And most players are happy to give as good as they get. And especially in a highly competitive environment like the Ashes. But as Stuart Broad said overnight, let's try and leave the cricket on the field and the talking on the field between the players, because it can get a little bit ugly if that's taken to press conferences. As coaches, we should probably acknowledge that it's a part of the game that, although it's not necessary, it can be beneficial and useful. So you can understand a few verbals coming up when a team's behind or at a crucial point in the game, or maybe if someone's showing some signs of weakness. It's important, though, that coaches don't encourage sledging unnecessarily, maybe to look tough in front of their friends or the crowd or whoever it might be. But to wrap it up, I mean, sledging can be used as a mental edge, but let's save it for when a mental edge really is needed.
And that is just about all we've got time for this week. Well, it's been such a busy show that I've been struggling to keep up with all, but I think we've just about managed to do it. So congratulations, Sam, on your first official co-presenter show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Many thanks. Yeah, it's been great.
Now, before we completely wrap it up, we have to do our time-honoured tradition of deciding on the best question of the week and winning that prize, which is the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. Now, Gareth, this is your domain, but if you want to get Sam's input this week, it's completely up to you.
Well, I think I will, actually. I've got a preference for the question purely because Chavez talks about losing some body fat, which is a constant challenge for myself. So I'd go towards him. But this week, as it's your debut, big lad, Sam, it's over to you. Which one is it?
I like Sarbs' question, probably because it's slightly my field as well. But it's good to also hear people who are willing to make a change, and they're ringing up to actually change something about what they do. And often that's a tough subject for people to approach. But the first step is really approaching it and looking for a way to change. So I'll go with Sarvesh because I think it's great that he's looking to develop himself and he's looking to improve.
Great stuff. So we're all in agreement. Congratulations, Sarvesh, that you can choose your online coaching course at pitchvision.com and enjoy the extra coaching that you're going to get from that. Maybe you have a look at one of the fitness courses that we do. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with the show, if you're listening now and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I fancy one of those prizes, I really would like to get my question answered by this team, then all you need to do is drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com, or you can call us on
0203 239-7543.
That's right, with international numbers also available on the website. You can tweet us at PitchVisionAcad. You can Facebook us, facebook.com/PitchVisionAcademy. And you can subscribe to the show. All good podcast downloading devices are able to subscribe to this show. iTunes is the most popular one, and if you do a search for us on iTunes, Pitch Vision Academy, you'll find us in there, but you can use any device if you just head over to pitchvision.com/academy, click on the podcast link, and all the instructions for subscribing are in there. And that's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Garrers. Cheers, Lavers. Cheers, Burners.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, guys.